Senate Bill 48 has had its second reading.
Senate Bill 48 having had its second reading, is there final consideration? Are there any remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Michaels.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a number of very involved and detailed issues today, which is normally what happens when we're in the fourth quarter. This one is an interesting one that we have in many years have not been bringing to the floor. It's never made it. And instead of boring you with the details, because I know a number of you have been spoken to, I think the most efficient way to talk about Senate Bill 48 is to actually just read the summary provided through the Retirement System Board. Retirement System Board has representatives of everyone who are participants within the retirement system. When there are certain combinations of age and credited service met, the SDRS, or the retirement system members, can retire early with a full or unreduced benefit. Now, these age and service combinations are referred to as the special early retirement provisions. Currently, the retirement system provides this for what we call Class A. There are Class A and Class B, two classes of B. As early as age 55, if their age plus the years of credited services equals at least 85. I don't do math well in public, but I could figure out that what we're asking here is to reduce that combination by 5. This is known currently as the rule of 85 with a minimum age of 55. Now, that age would not change. Senate Bill 48 improves this retirement calculation to what we refer to in our parlance as a rule of 80, with still the minimum age of 55. So the example is that if you have a Class A member who would be a teacher, a classified employee, school superintendent, et cetera, city employee, county employee that participates, at age 55 would be required to have 25 years of service, credited to meet the rule of 80 and then retire with a full retirement package. Now, there's been quite a bit of discussion about the actuarial impact, and I'll just read you. The Buck and consultants are the actuaries for the plan, have been since 1974. And the cost is, they use terms like long-term liability, but the cost is a one-time cost of almost $15 million. And that'll be paid out of the funds of the retirement system. That is not an appropriation. In addition to that, there is indicated to be an ongoing expense that's calculated through their mechanism of 1.5% of going forward expenses, they call it. I would request your support of that. You've had materials. I know you've had a lot of people talking about it. I'm sure we'll have more conversation on it. Thank you for your due consideration.
Further remarks? Representative Koistra.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the body, as a member of the State Retirement Laws Committee, I have some real concerns, as many others do, the inequities that Senate Bill 48 has when we're dealing with the rule of 85 to 80. Therefore, Mr. Speaker, I have an amendment at the desk. It has been passed out, and I'll waive the reading.
48CA. Is there a second? Comments on the motion to amend. Representative Koistra.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What the amendment will do, the Retirement Laws Committee, they shall conduct an interim study and address the concerns of the Siegel Report, which is actuary report, which Representative Michaels referred to. And what we would like to come out of this, the outcome, and the recommendations from the Siegel Report was to develop a formal policy with regard to reemployment of retirees. The policy should address reemployed retirees both before and after normal retirement age and should consider whether it should be uniformly available to all employees regardless of the employers. And therein lies the problem. And with the summer study, I think hopefully next year that we can come back and we can pass a good bill, and hopefully we can reduce it from the 85 to the 80. I would ask for your support on the amendment. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
Further remarks. Representative Davis.
Mr. Speaker and members of the body, may I address the amendment and the bill?
Yes.
In FY96, over 755 state employees were laid off. In FY99, the Board of Regents privatized a plant at School of Mines and 36 employees were laid off. This caused job eliminations, early resignations, and early retirement. Now, if we would have had the rule of 80, these are some things that I think could perhaps have happened. Some people had to withdraw their retirement to keep from going bankrupt and therefore have no longer retirement. Had we had the rule of 80, perhaps there would have been more people who could have retired with dignity and allowed younger people to stay in the positions that were open. I think that we don't have any way like they do in the private world where they lay people off, they give them payoffs, they give them early retirement, they give them a lot of things. And if you look at the Part B, those retirement ages are even earlier. So I think we should think of the people, and a lot of people have written me, called me, and asked me to vote yes on this bill. I don't believe it's going to be abused because most people need their hospitalization and those kinds of things. They don't retire at 55. But when there is a need there, like this layoff of 755 state employees, I think it would be wonderful to have the opportunity there for these people to leave the system with dignity and allow younger employees to stay on and therefore help two families. So I would encourage you to defeat the amendment and pass the bill and give our state employees the opportunity, if the need should arise, to use the rule of 80. Thank you.
Further remarks? Representative Richard Baum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question not for the sponsor of the amendment, but for the sponsor of the bill, I guess Representative Michaels, if
State
I might.
State your question.
And thank you. Representative Michaels, how would you anticipate, as a member of the Retirement Laws Committee, putting this interim study together that is suggested by Representative Koistra, as you do as a regular committee summer meeting anyway? Would you involve others of the legislature, or this is fairly general and I know you don't have it specifically, but how would you respond to how you might implement this sort of a instruction?
Representative Michaels.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for the question. I need to clarify, I'm the one pitching the bill, not the amendment. But what we normally do, since I am the chair, and what has taken place throughout, you know, the last number of years, and Representative Olson and Davis have been on this committee a lot longer than I have. But up through the last couple of years, we have had studies on an ongoing basis. We have met with the board, and they have updated us on where they're at. We are a standing committee under the laws of the state of South Dakota. We have oversight and responsibility under the code to ensure that they are meeting their fiduciary obligations. So we have that authority to meet, and normally we meet once a summer to review where they are actuarially, how the investments are performing, and what other issues they're dealing with. Now, last year, based on a bill that I sponsored, there was a study relative to not only the actuarial soundness, but also equity issues. There was a question on the piece of hire, rehire that is being referenced here, and that has yet to be resolved or addressed by virtue of that study, although previous legislatures ago, a long time ago, have. But it would be my understanding and my direction that we have a standing meeting, and that's how it would take place. And I certainly would defer to both Representative Olson and Representative Davis, who have served on this committee longer than I.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Representative Michaels. Yes, I clearly understand you're not the proponent necessarily of this amendment, but that you would be, in fact, receiving the instruction from this if it passes, and I appreciate very much your response.
Mr. Speaker.
Remarks, Representative Lang.
Thank you, Mr.
Lang.
Speaker. I have a question for the sponsor of the amendment.
State your question.
To what extent, how many do you have as far as numbers of those people who retire and then go back to work?
Representative Koistra, do you consent to answer that question?
The numbers at this time is not set, but we assume, and I think the assume would be right, by lowering it from 85 to 80, we're talking hundreds.
Thank
Representative
you.
Lang, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, my perception is that this is not really a problem, that these people who want to go back usually do it for a lower salary, and because they're needed. It happened in our community and at a small school, and I don't see this as a real problem, so I think we should defeat the amendment and go on to pass the bill. I also have served on the Retirement Laws Committee, and I know they're very careful about anything they do has to be actuarially sound. So I would suggest that we defeat the amendment and pass the bill.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of the Koister Amendment. Let me tell you why. First of all, the fiscal impact of doing a rule of 80 at this particular point in time is estimated to be $14.9 million. But ladies and gentlemen of the House, let me tell you, nobody retires at the rule of 80 because of health insurance reasons. And so what happens is people retire from the state and collect the state pension, and then they go work someplace else. And the issue that would be studied is it appropriate, or is there a difference between retiring for me, for example, out of the Mitchell School District and then moving to Brookings and teaching there as a retired person, now back in the retirement system, now drawing a state salary, if you will, at least a state-sponsored pension salary, and drawing a salary in addition to that. That is the issue before us. And is there a difference between somebody like me leaving teaching in Mitchell and going to teach in Brookings, or somebody like me leaving teaching and going to teach at Dakota Wesleyan, which does not participate in the retirement program? Is that a difference or is it not? And I think what's caused the heartburn on the Retirement Laws Committee are the number of cases where people have retired and then the next day been rehired for the exact same job. And so are there cases where perhaps in a downsizing situation, some employees who are already 55 but who have not yet reached 30 years of service, could they use the rule of 80? Perhaps. That number, though, is so few compared to the numbers who will be able to retire, if you will, 5 years early, still have to be at 55 but don't have to get that rule of 85, and then have the potential to be rehired. Is that what we want for the public policy of the state? And I think that's what Representative Koister is getting at with this amendment. Or should we take a look at this in an organized way, and when these retirement meetings are called, it's a joint meeting of the Senate and House Retirement Laws Committee, and of course we work with the Retirement Board, and should we then decide what the public policy should be? Or should we allow, and this happened to a friend of mine, taught science across the hall, got to be old enough to retire, I believe he was 57, something like that, and he offered to the school board that they let him retire, and then he come back and do the exact same job for first-year teacher salary. And they said, no, our policy doesn't allow that. But you read in the paper of other school districts, in particular with administrators, who do allow that. And so that is the public policy issue. And I think, ladies and gentlemen, this is a wider question than simply is 80 or 85 good public policy. I think the hire, rehire issue is the issue in the rule of 80, and I would urge you to give Representative Koister's amendment the most serious consideration.
Further remarks, Representative Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to address the amendment and the bill, save your time.
Yes, you may.
This bill has been studied to death. For years, the retirement these people have been studying this, and the answer keeps coming up, yes. The money's there.
Yeah, I've never tried that.
Other government people have the same thing. I don't see a problem with it. It's not going to cost the taxpayer anything. And when we look at this constant approval, I don't know what the resistance is. And I don't see the problem, even if there is a problem, if somebody wants to retire 2.5 years earlier now, I don't see a big problem with that. And if a person wants to work after they're retired, who doesn't do that anyway? You find all kinds of people in private business that retire, then they go back and become a consultant somewhere and they make money while they're retired. That's no big deal. I don't see why that's a problem and why we would begrudge somebody working after they're retired. Another advantage of this rule of 80 passing is this. An example is the engineers that we hire for the state. We're having a horrible time trying to hire engineers in this state, trying to pay them enough money to compete with the engineers that will go to work for other states for a lot more money. If we can make South Dakota a better place to live, give them a little bit more of a carrot where they can start a little later and they might be able to retire at the same age having started later, maybe they want to come to South Dakota. With the Department of Transportation, that's a big problem. So I think we should defeat this amendment. It's been studied long enough. And I request that you just go ahead and pass the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further remarks? Does any member wish to speak before Representative Koistra speaks a second time? Representative Koistra.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be brief. The report we haven't had over a period of time. This body last year, we had just appropriated $65,000 for this report. I think it would be wise and prudent that we take the study during the summer. And what we'd probably look at in the hiring and rehiring, you're going to rehire somebody. You have to look at them once they retire, and they're going to rehire it again. You're going to be vested again. So maybe we should have some early retirement benefits and then post-retirement benefits. It's a fairness issue. Representative Monroe brings up, I would say, inequalities. Do all schools, do all employees? They're not all school employees here we're talking about, teachers. We're talking probably 60%. Does one school, do they operate at the other school? No. Does one employer, do they work like the other? No. We have to have a uniformity in that, and you're going to take it by a study, not by passing this. So again, I ask you to support my amendment. Thank you.
Further remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Flowers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, when I'm looking at the amendment, if I might, Mr. Speaker, I think there's probably the probability that most school districts or counties or cities could take the bull by the horn, if you would, and set the guidelines for these people that are retiring and then going right back to work, because I've seen it in cases where people are taking their retirement. The next day they're hired back at the same wage that they left their job at, and that probably isn't quite right either. If they want to go back, they should probably start down at the starting level again, and you wouldn't have some of this stuff happening like we have today. So I'm not in favor of the amendment. I'm in favor of the bill, but either one is going to be an improvement, I think.
Further remarks? Hearing none. The question before the House, then, is the Koistra motion to amend. Roll call is requested. Is she supported? She is supported. Those in favor of the Koistra motion to amend 48CA will vote aye, opposed nay. The clerk will lock the voting machine, and members will proceed to vote on the Koistra motion to amend. Representative Jensen.
Thank you. Personal privilege, please.
Granted.
Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I'd like you to give a warm welcome to a couple of close relatives of mine, my mother and my sister, sitting right up here.
Representative Valandra. Representative Valandra. All members present have voted.
Clerk will display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 46, nays 23, absent 1.
The Koistra motion to amend 48CA, having received a majority vote of members present, is hereby declared passed. Senate Bill 48 is so amended. Further remarks? Hearing none. The question for the House, then, is the final passage of Senate Bill 48 as amended. Those in favor vote aye, opposed nay. The clerk will have the voting machine, and members proceed to vote on Senate Bill 48 as amended. Representative Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like the members of the House to recognize some special relatives that I have here today. My daughter, Deborah, and her son are right here. Mitchell, you want to see him? Happens to be my grandson. And Deborah and her husband, Robert, happen to leave the gallery, so I get to do this again later. Thank you.
Representatives Derby, Valandra, Glensky, Lang, Pitts, Jim Peterson, Lentz, and McCauley. Representative Alondra. All members present have voted.
Clerk will display vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 64, nays 6.
Senate Bill 48, having received a majority vote of members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title?
Title amendment at the desk.
Representative Koister has a title amendment, 48 CTB. Is there a second? Those in favor of amending the title will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Title so amended.